BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's your Christmas Eve Scott Mills Daily Podcast. There's a festive Bumbleo Wednesday. Greg's on Real or No Real. We re-educate ourselves on how to sing Fairy Tale of New York just like the Pogues with our singing teacher, Felicia. And a good new tip for single people before you commit to a proper date.
Scott Mills.
One.
This is
BBC.
BBC Radio One.
Good afternoon. It's nearly Christmas. You all right, Chris?
I'm good. How are you? Are you feeling festive?
I'm feeling so festive right now and good. Better than yesterday.
Good. What a way to start. Yeah, I'm good. I'm with
so
it.
So much more. Isn't that amazing? Like when you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel good today.
Have you got your phone back?
There it is.
Look, that's the magic of Christmas right there,
thank
isn't
you.
It?
Thank you to the taxi driver. Thank you, Solomon. Very kind.
It is like, it's a wonderful festive story. You were in your own pantomime. You were in your own Cinderella there, weren't you? Sort of.
Do you know, I went
to pick
it up.
Did you fall in love with the beautiful taxi man?
No, I went to pick it up from his actual house, actually. And I gave him like a bit of, like, just a, like £5.
Of course.
And because it's Christmas. And he was, I felt like I was in a Channel 5 Christmas movie.
Mm.
Like the music could have come on. He was like, thank you so much. And a Merry Christmas to you and your family. Is like, oh, I love this.
And then you embraced.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, God, the rest of the morning was so horrible. And then the evening was so lovely.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Christmas on BBC Radio 1. This is Scott. Hello.
Hey, mate. It's Aaron in Ipswich.
Aaron in Ipswich. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, thank you kindly, good sir.
Yes. Still working?
Still working, mate. Working tomorrow as well.
Same.
Yeah, well, look forward to listening to you, mate.
How can we help you, Aaron?
Do you remember last year you got Felicia, the singing instructor, to teach Chris how to sing the Pogues?
Oh, I loved that. I've got quite a few messages about this, actually, on my socials. Do you remember Felicia, who's our singing teacher? Not that we've got a singing teacher. She's just in America, and we found her on YouTube because she did a brilliant version of Chandelier by Sia, and she teaches you how to actually sound like the artist.
Yeah, she's amazing. So she doesn't really teach you how to sing much better, but she teaches you... Well, no, she doesn't. But what she does do is teach you how to sound in the style of a certain person, and that way you can get away with it. So now I do sound exactly like Sia, but without necessarily being a good singer.
Yes. It's because she gives you like different words to sing, and you get the tone of it correct.
Every now and then when I do karaoke, I can do Chandelier. Pwaddy girls, don't get hurt, don't do anything, when will I learn?
See, you don't forget it.
Same as Sia.
This is from her YouTube video, which is when we first discovered her.
So it starts off. Pwaddy girls, don't get hurt. So the lyric is, party girls, don't get hurt, can't feel anything, when will I learn? But this whole time, we're gonna try to replicate Sia's resonance, which lives right here in her pharynx, or her vocal mask, right there. Pwaddy girls, we're gonna say pwaddy girls, don gehurt, ken fell anything, when woolite learn. Woolite, like the detergent.
See?
It works.
It's as simple as that.
And now you can sing.
Pwaddy girls, don gehurt, can't do anything, when woolite learn.
It just sticks in your head. And you enjoyed it when Felicia taught Chris how to sing the Pogues, Aaron?
I did indeed.
I mean, it's a Christmas classic, right?
I believe so.
Everyone wants to know how to sing that in the style of them.
Yeah.
What did you enjoy about Felicia teaching Chris the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl?
Well, I've been getting the words wrong all these years, so I guess it just sort of taught me what he's actually saying, or actually sounds like he's saying.
Yeah. And did you try and sing it after you heard the singing lesson?
I did. I sound much better.
Sound more and more like the song itself.
I do, yes.
So 1 year on, like so many other people on my Twitter, would you like to hear it again, just so we can refresh?
Oh, it would be top banter.
Top banter.
Top banter, lad. Do you think it's one of those things as well that last year, maybe some people missed out?
Yeah.
You would have gained new fans over the year, or new listeners who missed out on this.
And they're missing out on how to sing it properly.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I'm hearing what you're saying, Aaron. Loads of other people have asked for it as well. So we're going to have a NYPD choir singing lesson just after 1:30 with Felicia, all right?
Oh, brilliant, mate. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
BBC Radio 1.
So, you know, we've got an occasional singing teacher on the show. No, we actually do, though, called Felicia. And she can make you sound like all the big acts, all the big artists. And Aaron rang earlier wanting to hear again the lesson she did for the Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York. I'm actually getting a lot of messages about this. So whether you didn't hear it the first time or maybe you're just hoping to perfect your Pogues singing technique during karaoke this Christmas time, we've got it again for you. Hi, Felicia.
Hello, Scott.
This is so exciting. Where are you right now?
Right now I'm in my kitchen in Pennsylvania, Wayne, Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today. And we've been in touch on email and Felicia has agreed to, even though I don't think she's ever heard this song, agreed to help us sing like the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl.
Wow. Surely you've heard this song before, Felicia.
I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it like once.
It's not a big song in America.
No, it's more of a novelty. Like everyone's like, oh, that vulgar Irish one. That's what people
say. So we sent you the lyrics and also obviously a copy of the song, Fairy Tale of New York, and you're going to help us sing it today to make us feel even more festive.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to be exactly in the style of Shane McGowan and Kirsty MacColl.
Felicia, I will now hand over to you so you can teach Chris how to do this amazing festive song.
So the first rule of singing like Shane McGowan, because when you start the song, Shane comes in, right? And it's super low. And you also want to make sure you're very nasal. So the first thing I want you to do is try not to sound like you have a blocked nose, like that.
Right. So your tip as a singing teacher is
sound like you've got a cold.
Sound like you've got a cold.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And try not to warm up, too, for this song. Like,
okay.
Just right. Be completely raw.
To be honest, he's never warmed up. But, okay, let's have a go.
So I'm trying to sound like I've got a cold.
Yeah, that's good, I think.
More snotty.
That's perfect. Like, just complete, like an NG sort of in your nose, like that. Like, he closes off all his words. You'll see when you, you'll hear, I guess. Yeah.
I'm cold.
So, the lyric is, it was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank.
But we're going to say, it was Kresma Sieve Bip. Enda Drum Tank.
Okay.
So it's like, that was Kresma Sieve Bip. And the Drum Tank. Like that.
Right. Fine.
Okay.
And here we go.
Here we go.
It was Kresma Sieve Bip. And the Drum Tank.
No. No, not nasal enough, is it?
You could dig a little bit more into the nose. Just hook right into the nose.
Dig into the nose.
It was Christmas Eve, bed, the drunk tank.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Great.
Okay, should we move on?
The next line is, an old man said to me, won't see another one. So we're going to say, an old man said to me, on saying other one.
An old man said to me, won't see another one.
And what's next?
Okay, then the lyric is, and then he sang a song, the rare old Mountain Dew. And we're going to say, Undena sang a song, Derrere O'Mutton Tio. And you want to do a vocal fry on this? So
what?
That means you've had a vocal fry is almost, it sounds like your chords are crackling together on a very low frequency. So it's going to be
vocal fry.
And then, wait, would you know the key? Sorry, can you give me the key one more time?
La.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that really helps. That really helps, Chris.
Okay. And then he sang a song.
I get your vocal fry.
Let's hear it.
Key, please, Mills.
As if you need to know the key. Shut up.
And then he sang. And then he sang a song. The rare mutton tio.
That was perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, now we've mastered a bit of the verse. Let's hit the chorus.
Okay, so that's instead of the boys of the NYPD choir, we're going to say de ba zadi enwa pide kwa. De ba zadi enwa pide kwa.
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 Yeah.
Kwa.
Da boys da endi pidi kwa.
And sing.
Da boy di enwa pidi kwa.
Da bazidi.
Oh, sorry.
Da bazidi. Da bazidi enwa pidi kwa.
Da bazidi enwa pidi kwa. Was singing goebe.
Yay. Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And yes,
yes, because the chorus, it's like I can feel the energy kind of like coming into your voice.
Me too.
It's really good.
I'm getting excited
Me
now,
too.
Felicia. I'm not going to lie.
He might have a vocal fry in a minute.
Yeah, it comes in. It comes in when
sure.
it's ready.
Could we go to the argument bit of the song now, please, which is my favourite, I think.
How's this going to work?
I don't know.
You're a bum, you're a punk.
You're an old slut and junk millionaire, almost dead on a trip in that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're ours, I pray God it's ours.
Okay, what do we do here, Felicia?
So it's, you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy, And then it's really similar with the modifications. You scumbag, you maggot. So you don't have to close off on the T.
Uh-huh.
And then you say, too cheap, lousy,
You scumbag, you maggot, too cheap, lousy,
Yeah.
Cheap, lousy,
Too cheap.
Too cheap, lousy,
Last line, we're going to do Happy Christmas, Siras. Opera. Gardetza, last.
Chris.
Harpe Christmas Uras, ape Gardetza last.
Amazing.
Amazing. Felicia, thank you so much for being part of this beautiful Christmas experiment today.
It was amazing.
It kind
really
of
had fun.
It worked having a live singing lesson. I mean, up until now, we've just used your YouTube videos, but I think we should do this again.
I totally agree. I'm totally up for it. It's really fun.
Well, have an amazing Christmas.
You too.
And what we'll do now is we'll play the song, but we'll add in bits of what Chris has learned.
So do you want me to sing back or am I just listening?
Well, I think I'll stop the song in bits and then get you to do it, if that's okay.
Great.
And then
Sounds
I'll
good.
Do the same with Chris. Thanks, Felicia.
This is so fun. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
That was Christmas Eve, babe. And the drunk sang.
Chris.
An old man sent to me on seeing another one.
One.
Scott Mills here. Chris is always last minute with his Christmas presents every year. I've been his friend for a long time now and it happens every year. Tell me, have you clicked and collected?
I've clicked.
Oh, no.
No.
Right, it was the first thing I thought about when I woke up this morning. That's how much it's stressing me out and on my mind.
Don't stress, because I've got some stuff that I've got arriving in the post as well. So hopefully that will work.
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
It's all fine, okay?
Oh, I don't like it. Please don't disappear.
Got a good text from Alex saying, Christmas is just one big ho, really, isn't it? I'd forgotten E17 were even a thing. Christmas is weird. Thanks, Alex.
Well, it's, yeah. The thing is, it's tradition. And generally, tradition is going to be ho. Because it's things in the past, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we wouldn't really play E17 at any other time of year. Or Brenda Lee, or Eartha Kitt. Mm. That was E17 and Stay Another Day on BBC Radio 1.
Oh, oh, oh! BBC Radio 1.
Right, there's nothing else for it. We're going to have to do a festive bumbleo at 2:40. Keen? Let me know gap requests, please, on 8199. Yesterday was a great day on this show because Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg were on That happened.
They're the best, aren't they?
They're the best.
They're the best.
It was so good to have them on again. We've had them on separately, but we've never had them on together before. And that's because they got this new film out. And I just thought they were brilliant.
And I think they bring out the best of each other. And yeah. Even the chat we had with them was cool. And then they did that game that we wanted them to play. They're really good fun. And the film is actually really good as well.
Yeah, it's a good kind of festive offering.
It's so easy to watch.
Yeah. I like them, and you can tell that they are genuine friends in real life as well, and that becomes, on the video of the Playground Insults game, that becomes quite clear.
That's really interesting, because often you see interviews with them, and it can look a little bit forced, but what's amazing is just before you go and do the interview with them, they are genuinely mates just chatting away, and then it's almost like when the interview comes on, they feel the need to do the formal thing.
Yeah.
But they were just, they seemed to be on form.
We heard them chatting before, didn't we? They were like, oh, how's your daughter? And we're like, it's just like weird, like just eavesdropping on that kind of really normal conversation from two of the biggest stars in the world.
It's hard to get stuff out of them, but I'm so glad that you told me to ask this question, Scott.
Ask him to buy you a football club.
Could you buy me a football club?
Yes.
That's such a good question.
I could.
Yeah? It's called Watford FC.
What is the value?
We're Premiership now.
Oh, yeah.
Really? What is the value?
I don't know the value of it, but I think you could pick up a player for a decent player for a million.
Staying out of relegation at this point?
Yeah, we're actually all right, mid-table.
Okay, mid-table.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I mean, genuinely, you could buy a football club. If one of your kids asked for it, you would do that.
No.
No?
No.
It depends on the price.
Yes. You know what happens with kids who have parents that have money? They don't appreciate things.
Right.
They don't take care of it. So you get them too much stuff, and it basically just gets discarded around the house.
But I take it you would so appreciate owning.
He wouldn't take it for granted.
Massively appreciate
Waterford FC.
Watford.
Oh, Watford, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Waterford Crystal.
That would be the best. Even if you could just get me like the stands named after me or something like that, just a section of the stadium. Mm.
What if we were able to purchase that you could play a half for Watford?
But that would be incredible.
Yeah. Mm.
Can you play?
What would your position be?
Is this only if I'm your son, or is this,
this
conceivable
is
that I could make this happen
right,
today?
Oh, I'm not helping you.
Oh, man, this is it's worth asking, I guess, lads.
It makes me laugh so much. We also played the Playground Insults game. So if you can imagine it, and you can see this on the video, Will and Mark are sat opposite one another in a really dark room with very dramatic lighting, and they take it in turns to insult each other until one of them cracks up. You don't even have to imagine it, because you can watch the video right now. Chris has just tweeted the link, right?
Yeah.
I'm just doing it now,
yeah.
I'm going to retweet you now. Yes, I am, in a minute. So go to our Twitters and you'll see that. There's a direct link on there. But word of warning, they are a little rude, so if you're offended by slightly naughty words, please don't watch it if you're easily offended.
You're a poor man's Mike Myers.
Your last movie really was underwhelming.
Jack Black will kick your ass.
Ooh. Ooh.
You got a great ass for a guy from Boston. Can I go again?
You can go again. Well, if you've got it in you, go again.
If I was on a desert island and I had a choice between eating a Wahlburger and a raw dead fish, I would eat the dead fish.
Mark Wahlberg said it was the best thing ever. He loved it. If you've got a couple of minutes, you probably have, because you might still be at work, and I'm guessing you'll get to go soon, but look busy by watching this video now if you have to still be at work. There's a link on my Twitter and also Chris's Twitter. Playground Instance Arts Game with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg was a brilliant one.
This is BBC Radio 1.
I think you're going to be in awe of my quite festive gap today on Bumbleo Wednesday. That was Florence and the Machine and Delilah. Are you ready for a Christmassy one?
I am, but when you say something's festive, it suggests that it's disappointing and you're trying to jazz it up by just putting festive in front of it.
No, this is some good Christmas bits from the show. right. Okay.
All right.
Trust me on this.
Amor de compra y venta, amor del pasado. Ven, 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 ven.
It is hard to believe that this is my first year of pardoning a turkey woman. Turkey woman.
It's far too big. I tried to push it into the door and it just got stuck. I mean, I just kept pushing and pushing. It just wasn't going in.
It's Christmas!
Da bars of the NYPD choir. What? Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Da bars of the NYPD choir was singing Go Away Bear.
Bambaleo, bambaleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así.
We'll name an unhealthy meal beginning with W. Go on.
Waffles.
All right. All right.
You're a poor man's Mike Myers. Your last movie really was underwhelming.
It's ridiculous.
Hello.
Hello, happy Halloween.
Oh, thank you.
Oh no! I've just said happy Halloween to Terry Wogan. Yes! We're on. Can I hear bells? I think I can. Bumble, my baubles off. Standard Dan in Cirencester. Lynn in Aberdeen already impressed by the festive gap. Tom off of Maidstone. Not even attempting to be subtle on the bus, bumbleoing. Jake from Poole having a massive bumbleo outside a generic convenience store. First time listening live. Bumbleoing my tinsel off at someone called Lionel. Where are you? Where are you? Tom, who's just finished delivering 140 parcels in Hull. Bells are back on.
Is this what makes it festive?
Yeah.
Someone done this live, trying to do the bells along with it.
I think so. Driving home for Christmas, wearing sunglasses. I feel like it's more like May than December. Standstill traffic on the M4. Can't wait to get back to Cardiff after a mammoth week in London with my clients. That's a very long text there. Thank you, Sean.
Bambaleo.
Kerry, Callum and Samuel in sunny Ipswich. Gemma the dog groomer in Leicester. Great festive gap. Hello, Gemma. And Joe in Aberdeen. Last clappy bit
clappy
of
bit.
2015.
Festive clappy bit, everyone. It feels strange, this one, though, because it's not like getting to the end of the week is a big deal at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that.
This should get you hyped for Christmas, no doubt. Last one of the year, come on, kids. Noah from Todd Morton. I'm like off of the darkness.
Come on, kids.
Come on, kids. Aaron in Ipswich. Sam in Portsmouth. Chris in Rotherham, who says, I am all over this Christmas bumbleo. Feeling it, Mills. One last time for 2015. Hang on.
Yes? We can do it again next Wednesday, can't we, for Bumbleo Wednesday? It'll be the 30th. Let's fit one more in before next year, everyone. Something to look forward to there.
Let's do that, everyone, next Wednesday.
This is BBC Radio 1.
Right, let's get well festive in a minute with Sam Smith. What's going on, Chris?
Well, I have another friend called Scott.
You do?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard of
him.
No,
I don't think it is, because I'm sure I've told you about him before. You may have even met him on a night out in Southampton that we've been on. I can't remember.
All right.
But anyway, I was talking to him last night, just catching up, and he was telling me about something he does now that he's single that I kind of wanted to share with you.
Okay.
New concept to me, this. I'm interested to know if it's a new concept to you.
Yeah, go on.
It's called pre-dating, and apparently it's changed his dating game, this. Right?
Okay, what happens?
Well, what I didn't realise is that loads of girls and guys do this already, and I'm sure if they don't, this might be something that that begins to happen more and more. The thing is, I worry I'm not going to do it enough justice, because he explained it really well to me. But it's like you have a quick meeting before a date. With the date, but it's not a date.
Right.
Because obviously you can meet loads of people through dating apps, social media, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but he basically, from my understanding, it's a bit like having an appointment.
Well, like a dentist.
Yeah, but with a dentist, you just go to the dentist and the thing happens, doesn't it? This is more a bit like if you were to, say, have an appointment before. Oh, here's a good example. You'll be able to relate to this. Like the appointment you have before you have surgery carried out.
Right? What, like a consultation, you mean?
Yeah, like the consultation that you have beforehand, just right. Where they draw on your face and things like that, and you come back 2 weeks later and they do whatever they're going to do to you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I get it now. Yeah, I get it, yeah.
I worry I'm not explaining this properly. Is it easier if I try and get him on to explain it?
Yes. Well, you think you've not got all the details together?
Yeah.
He'll explain it better.
The way he explained it last night was really well, and I'll be interested to know if other people do this as well. Do you want me to? I'll get him on if you want.
I'm just going to play Have Yourself a Very Merry Little Christmas.
Fine.
And you try and get hold of him on the phone then, yeah.
This is BBC Radio 1.
Good afternoon and Merry Christmas. This is BBC Radio 1. So many people driving around at the moment. So many people reporting general busyness and stress at the shops. You've got all that to come tonight when you go and collect
or
what
tomorrow.
You've clicked. Do it today. I reckon it might be worse tomorrow. I would go today.
No, because it's like a game of chicken. Everyone leaves it as late as possible. And actually what you find is at the last moment, everyone's chickened out by then. They all say they're going to leave it to the last minute. They never do.
Okay.
And it's like a free ride around. You can literally run around the shops, go, hey, loads of space. It's awesome.
I can swing anything in here I want. There's so much room.
Whereas right now, everyone's crammed in, trying to get it done before
all right, then.
The last minute.
Just know that this is really stressing me out that you haven't got anything yet. Anything. So, we'll talk about your mate, Scott, who has pre-dates before he goes on proper dates, which I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, it's like he's got this new tactic because of how many dates he's going on. I mean, it sounds quite big-headed, actually. But he can explain it better. I've got him on the line now, if you're keen, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, he's on now. Hello?
Hello. Happy Christmas. Hello, Scott.
Hello there. Are you right?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm interested in your pre-dating technique, please.
All right, yeah. It's almost like an interview before a real date. I had a few bad experiences and decided that it was best just to have like a pre-date beforehand, just to check that they were normal, a real person, not a 50-year-old guy sat on his laptop or something like that.
Has that happened before?
I've been catfished twice now, so it was desperate times. It was the only way forward to that point.
Twice?
By a 50-year-old man?
No, it wasn't. Well, actually, I don't know. One of them could have been a 50-year-old man. The other one was just a completely different person. Perfectly nice, but completely different.
Wow, the catfishing really is happening, isn't it?
Now, listen, it's fair to say, because I've known you for a while, Scott, that you do very well on social media and various dating apps.
Are you active on all the apps, Scott?
I do. I've been off them for a while, but, you know, after all this chat, it feels like, you know, it might be time to get the free dating out again.
Yeah.
But he is a prized trout. What I mean
really?
Is, like, people flick through on those apps and he takes a very good picture.
Okay. Can I see a picture?
He doesn't quite... Yeah, go on then, actually. This is an interesting
okay.
one.
Obviously, I've never seen you, Scott. I need to get the full picture here.
Hang on.
Wait there a second.
Well, do you want one from
that
his holiday pics then,
yes,
Scott?
Please.
Just
yes.
so you get...
Just the one.
And Starkey, be careful here. You've got full access to my Facebook.
Yep. Okay.
The one without his shirt on there.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Prize trout
Trout there.
I just think I'm lucky that this is radio. No one can actually see what you're looking at. I think it's doing me some favours there.
All of the wheat and none of the chaff. That's what he'd get.
Okay, fine.
Only the prize pickings for you, Scott.
Oh, good. Okay, so with that in mind,
Scott, you're single at the moment?
I am, yes, mate, I am.
And you've deployed this tactic now of predating?
Yeah, it's ever since the catfish incidents, it's been, you know, it's a little bit ruthless, a bit cutthroat, but time isn't on my side, so I decided to go for these kind of 15-minute quick things, see if it's worth doing a proper date. And it was something, it mainly came through Lukey, actually, because he's kind of the unofficial king of dating, and he always suggests the best dates. So it seemed like a good idea, before you went to one of these amazing dates and did the gentlemanly thing and paid for everything, before you tainted the venue with the wrong person turning up, that you just check out that they're real and that they're a nice person.
Can I ask, right, how is a pre-date different from an actual date?
It's just a 15-minute job, you know. It's just we're both busy. Let's meet, you know, in the shopping mall, quick coffee, yeah, and be on our separate ways. It's kind of it's more of an interview. I haven't asked anyone yet what they'd take on a desert island or anything like that, but maybe that's the next level. Maybe that's what my free dating.
Let me ask you a question. When you're going on these, do you tell them that it's a pre-date?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a mutual thing, isn't it? It's like they're aware it's a pre-date. Neither of you make any effort whatsoever. You just wear exactly what you would wear in normal life.
And it's just a coffee.
Yeah, not a coffee, or sometimes, you know, you can even stretch to a whole beer or something like that. Very rarely.
Well, hang on. So how do you stop a pre-date becoming a date?
Well, because it's got a 15-minute cut-off, you leave the pre-date. And then, you know, if everyone's happy and everyone's got all their teeth and everything like that, then you move on to a real date.
But what if the pre-date is going so well that you think, actually, I want another 15 minutes, and you both decide that the pre-date should not be a pre-date and then extend to full on?
That's not a problem for me. That's normally 15 minutes, and then normally next, pre-date failed. So it doesn't always work in your favour.
Right. Why?
So, yeah. Starkey will be able to tell you more about why I consistently fail at dating, but
okay. So Scott Mills, what do you think of this this idea of pre-dating then?
I actually think it's genius.
I don't see the difference between a pre-date and a date completely.
15
I don't
minutes.
Fully understand it.
No, it's 15 minutes. Like you said, you just turn up in whatever you're wearing. You're not particularly bothered about making an effort. It's just a, do we like each other? And you can work that out, I reckon, within 10 to 15 minutes. Right, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine if you were on a real date and after 10 or 15 minutes, the other person stood up and said, this isn't what I was expecting, and left?
Yeah.
It would be pretty crushing. But on a pre-date, that's the whole point of it. It's 10 or 15 minutes. And if the person says, do you know what, that was okay, Let's not carry on, though. It's not what we need. And it's fine. But if someone did that to you on a real date, you'd get out the Coldplay album. You'd be there for hours crying away to it.
Yeah. Can I ask as well? So they're often at, like, the shopping mall or something, are they?
Yeah, well, public places.
Yeah. Okay. Do you line up in one day, let's say, a lot of pre-dates back-to-back?
No, that kind of sounds more like speed dating. But no, I've never done that, no. Right.
Yeah, but speed
giving yourself 5 minutes in between just so they don't overlap.
I don't think I could take that much coffee.
You'd be buzzing.
Speed dating is effectively pre-dating. It's kind of the same.
Yeah, but it's been upscaled, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like someone's taken the intimacy out of it and made it into a big corporate thing that I can sell. Pre-dating's just the basic form of that, I guess. You know, just one-on-one. So it's still got some of the old romance to it, but without the scale of speed dating.
Yeah. It's not like as brutal as speed dating, because that's like next.
Yeah, I can imagine getting turned down once is bearable, but 20 times in a row, no one needs that, especially in the holidays.
I get you.
Also, both of you are aware of what's going on. Like, it's a pre-date as much for her as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it definitely works. It works both ways, absolutely.
And what's the success rate here? Like, how many, let's say, out of 5 pre-dates, how many go on to be proper dates?
It's probably about half, about 50%.
So it is an effective way of wheat from chaff. So I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated that girls and guys will do this, will do pre-dates.
I reckon we'll hear from more people as well that have do the same thing. Well, thank you for introducing me to the idea of pre-dating, Scott.
Oh, no worries, mate. That's
and
not a problem at all.
Make sure you alert us when the next one's happening.
Will do.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Oh, we're getting messages. People do this all the time. It's not just Scott. Oh, no, they're going to sing over each other. It's going to be really stressful.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
I'm hoping that you
so
dropped in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
mine. My mother eyes. Will start to
beautiful,
worry.
What's your
My father
hurry?
Will be pacing
the Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
No, I need another one, sorry.
Do you know what it's like? It's like okay, if... Fine. It's a proper Who. But you know the Frankie and Eamon song?
Oh.
You know they both released it separately. It's yeah. a bit like if they released both the songs together at the same time. Like, as in one song.
Prosecco is well good this year. Look. That was Idina Menzel and Michael Bublé.
BBC Radio ho, 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 1.
So, this is the deal on Christmas Day. I'm going to be here with... just Christmas songs. That's what you're getting.
You'll be there with bells on.
With bells on. Between 6.30 and 10 on Christmas Day morning. That's not tomorrow, but the next day. Mm. For all of you who haven't done shopping yet.
It's Christmas Eve, Eve.
Yes. Then after me, on the Radio and Breakfast Show on Christmas Day, the official Christmas chart with Greg James. So it's really close between Justin Bieber... and the NHS choir at the moment, like a handful of copies in it. So who's going to be Christmas number one? Find out on the live official Christmas chart with Greg James from 10. And then some of our Radio 1 mates are dropping in to do an hour each on Radio 1. So starting at 1 o'clock, One Direction for an hour with their favourite songs. Demi Lovato at 2, I like mugs. 3 o'clock will be Troye Sivan. 4 o'clock, Little Mix. Maisie Williams at 5 and The Vamps for an hour at 6. And then, 7 p.m, we will relive our Ibiza 20 celebrations with massive sets from Calvin Harris, Disclosure, Duke Dumont, Pete Tong and Annie Mack. And that is your Christmas Day on BBC Radio 1. I can't wait to start it off in the morning.
BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills Daily.
Whoa, breaking Justin Bieber news. Have you seen what's just happened on his Twitter?
What's happened?
He's put, I'm hearing this UK Christmas race is close, but the NHS single is for charity, so for 1 week it's okay not to be number one. Let's do the right thing and help them win. This is what it's all about. Merry Christmas.
You're joking.
He's just, he's kind of just taken himself out of the race there. That just
or,
now.
Or he was getting beaten.
No, I don't think he was.
I saw, do you know... obviously, with my chart hat on.
Yes.
Because I'll be
chart
doing,
news.
Chart news.
I bet you own a chart hat.
A chart hat. Because yes. Obviously, I'll be doing the chart on Christmas Day. This is... I was privy to some of the figures today.
Okay.
I can't say which was which, no. But incredibly
yeah,
close.
I've heard it's close.
Incredibly close.
But that is... I mean... That
it's a good thing.
Is a nice thing to do.
It's incredible.
It? Yeah.
That's a really incredible thing for him to do.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, that's just come in to our sources there.
Hang on, does everyone else have to do that then? Like, come out and say, no, I'm not going for it.
Well, it's just between them two, really,
is
it? Isn't it?
It's a two-horse race.
Yes.
Is it? You're not even going to pretend and say that there's anyone else in it?
Mm. Well, it's pretty much between those two, because at 3 is the other Bieber song. Sorry, is at 3.
Where's the X Factor one?
It was at 6 on Monday. But it had climbed.
Yeah, it's
to be fair.
It started at 9.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I
so
mean, it's arguably doing worse than Watford Football Club.
Yeah. That's made your Christmas chart
it's
even more exciting
well.
To see what
That's,
happens.
It's brilliant.
The official Christmas chart with Greg on Christmas Day, live from 10. And here's today's Real or No Real.
Kissing under the mistletoe could soon become a thing of the past after 2/3 of people revealed they had never done it.
Hmm.
It should be a bit hurt, shouldn't it? Kissing under the mistletoe.
No one's gotten their mistletoe out for me for years.
I bought some mistletoe this year.
Did you?
Yeah. I was on the way back with a tree and I saw at the market they were selling mistletoe. And I said to the bloke, "Oh, how much is this?" He went, £41.
What?
Must be real.
£41 for a mistletoe. I'd never bought it before. And I went, "Well, can I just have a sprig?" I just want a little bit. I don't want. It was a whole bunch of mistletoe, and so he gave me a little bit. And
where did you put it?
Just in my house,
but above the door,
kissing people.
Yeah, above the door.
So it's one of those situations that you open the front door, and every time
not
it's
the front
exciting.
Door, not the front door. No, because the postman's the there. The postman's round. I just look up to it and go, well, you know, tis the season.
Go on then.
What are the rules? I mean, if you put mistletoe above the door like that, I would be ordering takeaways ahoy.
I think as with most things, it needs to be consensual.
Okay.
You can't just go, excuse me, well, the mistletoe's there, come here. No, wandering around the streets with mistletoe above your head.
But what happens if you don't do it? Are you cursed or something? Like, is there any kind of punishment?
I would just like to say there's no obligation with this. You don't have to. It's just a tradition. You can't walk around. You're walking around Oxford Street with a load of mistletoe above your head. Come on then, put one on here.
So, is mistletoe now a bit hurt after a recent survey said that 2/3 of people have never done it?
I've never done it.
Never kissed under the mistletoe?
No.
Well, I suppose it's not number one, is it, on the list of Christmassy things?
No, not anymore, I don't
think. Tree is definitely one.
Yeah.
Lights, two.
Yeah.
And then mistletoe.
Do you both have a stocking out?
My mum hopefully will provide the stocking. For Christmas stockings.
You don't have one with... That disappoints me. I would have thought you'd both have one with your name on, just hanging up, ready.
No, I don't, actually.
At an angle.
No. Yes, the people who tend to have a stocking that has a name on it tend to be the people that have a wooden advent calendar.
Absolutely the same people.
What do you mean?
Like a wooden advent calendar, one that is just the same every year, but you put your own stuff in it.
Yeah.
Or like a fabric one. That's just, do you know what I mean?
I've got a stocking with my name on it, but I wrote it on there when I was about four.
That's okay. You've still got it?
Yes.
Did you manage to spell Chris?
Tradition. Yes, I did.
Is it like a backwards C?
Real or no real? Kissing under the mistletoe soon to be a thing of the past.
Real.
I think real.
That one is real.
Yes, a survey found that 71% of people under the age of 35 had never done it, meaning it could well be on its way to becoming a hurt quite soon.
Have you done it?
No.
No?
A long time ago, not for a while.
That's yes, then.
Not recently. It was the same time with my stocking with some coal and an orange in it. And next.
A train station in London is threatening to punish passengers travelling without a valid ticket by telling them the ending of the new Star Wars film.
Oh, what a great idea.
Do you know what? Sorry, very quickly, back to Christmas. It is tricky. I was with my little cousin the other day and... she got to visit Santa, and Santa asked, had she been good this year? And I was thinking, look, if I was to answer on the balance of things, of whether you've been good or naughty, I would say on balance I've been good, right?
Mm.
Would you say so, Scott?
You've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Okay, sorry, I just wanted to check. Random one.
What do you mean? What are you on about?
No, because I got really deep with it. I was thinking, well, hang on a minute. When I look through everything that I've done this year, have I on balance been good? I think I have.
Yeah, you definitely have.
Fine.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it.
No.
So the Star Wars movie, given out plot lines to that as a punishment.
Would you like me to arrange for Father Christmas to call you a North Star caller?
Possibly.
And you can ask him, because he'll give you confirmation. He'll tell you whether or not you've been good.
Really bothered you at the time.
I suppose it's just, okay, fine. Mm.
Anyway, so the message board at a station in London, did they say... if you haven't got a ticket, we will tell you the end of the new Star Wars film. That's quite harsh, but it would work.
Yeah, I think it probably would work.
Also, can I ask, when is it okay to start giving plot spoilers on Star Wars?
Don't get me started on this. This week, I got into such trouble talking about The Apprentice winner.
Mm. But Star Wars too soon?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Someone compared it. They said, oh, Greg, I can't believe you just gave out the ending of The Apprentice. How would you like it if someone told you what Star Wars happened? Not the same. Apprentice and Star Wars are not the same thing. Anyway.
I don't think you can give away... Like, if you did give away the plot to Star Wars, there will be another Star Wars at some point, I assume. Right? Because there's been loads.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I guess.
So does it really matter?
I think
Does it actually?
I think it's pretty big. I think it does matter.
Does it actually?
I mean, yes. If I was to say the ending right now, we would get a lot of complaints.
Do not.
But did it happen in this train station? If you haven't got a ticket, you are going to be told the end of the movie.
I think it's a great idea. Real.
No, I would assume they'd they'd punish you with a penalty. So I'd say no real.
That one is real.
Yes, it did happen at Canonbury Station in London last week. They said that anyone without a valid ticket would be told spoilers to the film on top of having to pay the usual fine. And finally,
on Christmas Day, 16% of pets will open their own presents.
Do you mean literally open them or have been given presents?
Well,
literally, physically with their paws. Or,
yeah.
As opposed to each other's presents or what?
Well, like, if it's a fish, their mouth.
Yes. 16%. Yeah. It's not that high. Because I thought it would be more.
That's such a good point.
There's a lot of pets that wouldn't be able to.
Mm.
Fish, mainly.
It is mainly fish. Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see a horse try and unwrap a jumper.
Or if you've got a pet bird, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, it's doable.
Peck it, just peck it.
Yeah.
Just peck the wrapping paper off.
You'd have to be very persistent.
You'd have that wrapping paper off in no time if you were pecking.
Snakes would find it hard.
They would, actually.
Mm. Just eat it whole.
So maybe that's why it's so low. 16.
They just wrap their snaky body around it.
60%.
You know those snakes that can just they swallow whole animals?
Yeah.
You know,
like,
here you go.
Just slowly watch
here
your
go.
Presents
little,
getting eaten.
My little python. And it just gobbles the whole thing up. That cost £100, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume the 16% is mainly about dogs.
I'd say your dogs, maybe your clever cats.
Your dogs, your cats, your guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. My guinea pigs are a bit of a who.
Yeah, they really are. Are they still on?
That's who guinea pigs.
Also, guinea pigs. The amount of guinea pigs that we get in
Wales. Still exist? Okay.
Yeah, guinea pigs are still a thing.
Guinea pigs and hamsters are still on.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, okay. Hamsters are, but guinea pigs are a bit, you know.
I'd like to know what percentage of guinea pigs or hamsters get wheels for Christmas.
Wheels?
Proper
oh, sorry,
cliched.
I thought you meant, like, to ride, to roll on.
And do you think they're like, oh, wheels again?
Yeah. It's like, oh,
seriously.
I think I know what I'm getting.
Oh, don't. I bet it's one of those balls you roll around in. Cheers. I've already got five.
Again. Real or no real, then, 16% of pets will open their own presents on Christmas Day.
I love the idea of pets getting annoyed at presents.
Yeah.
I had a new cage last year. I've just got used to this one, mate. Come on. I've just made it homely.
Yeah, you assume all pets are going to be grateful for the present.
Definitely not.
And cats definitely won't be.
What's the
equivalent? They hate everything.
You know, what's the equivalent of buying socks for humans? What's the equivalent for a dog? Like a squeezy toy?
It's like a
comedy bone, so to speak.
Yes. Comedy bone, I think, would be the socks of the dog world.
Comedy bones to a dog are like proper hurt.
Right. And real or no real?
Do you not love a comedy bone?
Real.
Real.
That one is real.
Yes, I don't know how they work that out, but it's true that 16% of pets do open their own presents.
That's why you can't do secret Santas with animals, can you? Because ultimately the presents aren't going to... Because I wouldn't be that fussed about a comedy bone.
And at the end of that round of real or no real...
I got 20, Greg got 30. Merry Christmas.
And what's on today, please?
On today's show, we have another North Star caller.
Yes.
We also... I don't know, I've forgotten.
Are you doing Real or No Real tomorrow as well, by the way? Are you on every day?
I'll go on every day. Yeah, sure.
Fine.
Are you on tomorrow?
I'll be on... I'm on every day.
Oh, that's nice.
For Real or No Real. Today, I've completely lost my train of thought, sorry. North Star Caller is back on, and it's the final of the Mayor of Ware at 4:40 today. The final one of the whole year. It's come down to this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's today from 4 with Greg James on BBC Radio 1. You're here tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow as well from 1 o'clock going properly baubles deep because Christmas Eve. And then I'll see you on Christmas Day as well because
yes.
Cos Chart and I'll be doing all the Christmas hits before, yeah.
Propping up the radio station from the bottom.
That's right. We'll be back for Christmas Eve tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1.